partner. We got a little chaos in your coffee. It's Chaos and Coffee with the rock god of podcasting, Charles McFall.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I am Charles McFall, the rock god of podcasting. And while I'm using a lighthearted intro today, thanks, Mike. Mike Woodard, Mike at themike.com. While I'm using this lighthearted intro today, it's a heavy, heavy Monday for news, man. And I'm going to have to deal with it. I know a lot of this stuff's probably all over the internet, of course, and all over your talk radio, but maybe some of you just listen for my thoughts and things on it. I don't know. But there's too much heavy news. I can't just skip the things that are going on like I've been trying to do and just bring you fun headlines. So let's just jump right into it. Following up on the Nice shooting, otherwise known as Bastille Day Killer, there has been some more information to come out. This is from the dailymail.co.uk. And, of course, I give you the information to then discuss it. And I'm going to give you some thoughts of my own on this to maybe give you something to discuss, a different angle possibly than what you're hearing on the radio. I have to avoid the radio at certain times like this because it can get negative. It can definitely get spinning into political stuff. And everybody wants to talk about radical Islam and Muslims. And this isn't the case this time. It just, according to this and what I'm reading and what I believe about the article, it's just not the case. The headline reads, Nice killer had 73-year-old male lover. Examination of Bastille Day killer's phone reveals he was bisexual at dating sites to pick up men and women. And here are the bullet points. Mohammed, whatever, Buell, Lahouadj, I honestly can't say it. Go read the article. He was 31 years old, regularly used dating sites to find lovers. Man who was described as his principal lover was 73-year-old pensioner, so a retiree. Detectives are trawling through his mobile phone to find details of his life. Was practicing homosexual despite claims that he was a radical Islamist and estranged wife and their children pulled out a fireworks visit at the last minute. I don't know if that matters. Those are the bullet points. Let's read some of this and then we'll discuss it. I'm gonna call him the Bastille Day Killer because his name is long and big and is hard, as was other parts of him. I'm sorry. You know, that's what I do. That's my gut reaction is when it's so heavy and so dark, I will find stuff to be funny about because we just can't live in darkness and we want to bring it to the light. So while this story is serious and the incident was serious, I might make some offhanded comments because that's just how I roll. It is chaos and coffee. It is not the nightly news. So suck it up and let's take a ride. Quotes is what people are calling. I'm not going to say that. But the 31-year-old had numerous male and female conquests that he found on dating sites. The retiree was his principal lover, blah, blah, blah. But he's a father of three. The Bastille Day killer is the father of three. Also regularly viewed sites showing violent sex as well as propaganda and graphic sex scenes of torture and beheadings. Whew. I said graphic sex scenes. I meant graphic scenes. I apologize. Showing violent sex as well as propaganda and graphic scenes of torture and beheading. As well as being a practicing homosexual, he drank alcohol and smoked drugs, despite claims he'd been recently radicalized into a strict Muslim. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I believe what some of what I've heard other people saying is, I think the way the world works is you will have strict, radicalized Muslims who aren't going to give up their life because to kill yourself and your cause really gives you no power and is not the smart move. And so they'll get other people to kill themselves for them, right? But beyond that is they're really, as much as they puff up, as much as ISIS and everybody puffs up their chest and says, we are huge and we take all this other, no, they're really not. It's almost impossible because if they're that huge, they'd be easy targets and we could kill them, take them down, whatever. The world could respond easily. The fact to be a terrorist, you have to be small. You have to be broken up. You have to be hidden. So they have to find other ways to do it. Now, what I believe they're doing is weaponizing people who have issues, people who are troubled, people who already have major problems, and then show an inclination by watching propaganda and graphic scenes of torture and beheadings. People who you can manipulate a little bit. You can maneuver into doing what you want there. So this is what's going on here, I believe. I mean, he's a drinker. He's a smoker of the drugs. And, I mean, I guess you can smoke crack, but more than likely it's probably weed. But he's also a practicing homosexual. He was a practicing bisexual, actually. That's not a strict Islamic radicalized Muslim. That's impossible. So officers discovered the phone inside the cab of the lorry or the truck he used. This is, of course, from the UK, the Daily Mail in the UK. The truck he used to massacre 85 people on a promenade d'Angeles on Thursday. I hope I said that somewhat correct. Police were only able to stop him by killing him. His phone proved more vital to the investigation. And here's the thing. They found links on his phone to there are seven suspects currently being questioned over these links to the Bastille Day killer. These include two Albanians suspected of supplying a pistol to him and others whose phone numbers were appeared on the phone. And they had reason to, I'm assuming they had reason to follow these up. The phone itself is full of messages, videos, and photographs, including ones of men and women Buell had recently slept with. He took frequent selfies and would record all of his relationships with other people, however brief. He even took a selfie of himself inside the truck just moments before heading off on his killing spree, sending it to a family member in his native Tunisia. And it goes on about other stuff. Now it's emerged that there are personal reasons. Yeah, of course, his estranged wife and kids have personal reasons not to be around him. Both his wife and mother have been victims of his domestic abuse, according to French detectives. So again, this is just saying he has issues. He lost his family because he had issues. I believe it's this kind of person that is being militarized. I don't think he believes in every tenet of Islam. I think it's pretty damn evident that he doesn't believe in most of the radicalized tenets of Islam. Let me be clear, because I have friends at IRUSA. I am widely and proudly associated with IslamicReliefUSA.org and do some charity work with them. As a straight, white, quote-unquote Christian man, okay? And I say quote-unquote because Christianity could be almost called Republicans at this point. It's horrible. It's politicized. I very, very much hesitate to use the title Christian. But my point is, I am not a professing, believing Muslim at all. I don't actually like to subscribe to the country club of any faith, to be honest. However, Islam and Muslims who practice are not these radicalized military people, and they're definitely not people who just willy-nilly drink and smoke and do this. So what I'm saying is religion honestly had nothing to do with this. Is what I'm saying. And all the evidence points to the truth of that, that he was not a radicalized, strict Islamist Muslim. He was a guy who had issues that nobody got him help for or that he never chose to get help for. And the wrong people saw this and manipulated it and saw tendencies that he had. I mean, obviously, I don't believe you turn somebody into a killer. I believe there's tendencies there that you feed. There's an old Indian tale about the dark wolf and the light wolf, and it depends on which one you feed, right? It's a big, long story. A lot of people know it. Short version is we all have two wolves inside of us. The one that is stronger is the one we feed the most. Is it the light wolf with hope and light and a bright future, or is it the dark wolf with anger and depression and the doubts of the world, right? He was struggling. I'm guessing, because that's where I would totally see a human being in the situation that's being described right now. I believe he was struggling with things, and I believe that the wrong people found him first, and they fed the dark wolf, and they fed those urges to kill, those urges to be a part of something, the urges to be accepted, But strict radical Islam, no. It's impossible. With what he does in his life, that's impossible. So I say all that. I really stress all of that to say all the headlines in the U.S. are always going to lead with Muslim attack, Muslim attack, Muslim attack, whenever they can. But we got to look at the truth. We got to start looking around us and not going, are you a Muslim? Are you going to blow some stuff up? No, we have to go, hey, I'm a human. You're a human. How are you actually doing today? Are there issues? If you get that vibe, there's something wrong with this person, then say something to somebody. Get them help somewhere. I don't know. I'm not saying strangers. I'm talking about people in your life. People were in his life. He was not alone. People were in his life, and he didn't get help. Maybe nobody offered it. Maybe people pushed him away. Words matter. What we do matters. I'm going to digress if I keep on this story. I've got more stories to come. We've got Turkey coming up. We've got Baton Rouge. And if we get to it, we've got the New York Post and parents who don't think they're parents. And it's, I read the whole article with my jaw going, what? I get part of it, but what? So hopefully we'll get to all that. But first, we got to keep the show going, man. We got to keep the lights on and the bills paid. So here's a word from my sponsor. All right, I am back, and I have got the coup in Turkey. Okay, again, I am Rock God Podcasting, Charles McFall. This show is Chaos and Coffee, found only on Blog Talk Radio. We try to talk about the news of the day. I want to give you headlines that you can discuss around work, on your chat groups, when you're playing games, with your family, wherever you talk to people, wherever you have fun, or just find yourself in conversations. I'm trying to give you points to discuss. And with that last story, I wanted the point to be, shut up, stop making it about radical Islam, and start making it about human beings and the problems that are going on, because that dude had problems, obviously, and he killed a lot of people. And that's going to kind of be the theme of the day today. And here's another one about, the theme of the day is shut up and think, okay? That's the theme of the day. Shut up, stop just spouting off everything you hear in the news or every headline you read, and think for yourself. And let's play a game called If It Were You. Let's play a game called Human Beings Exist, and let's discuss it from that point. So here's the next story, what to know about the general blame for the failed coup in Turkey. This is from Time.com, posted this afternoon at 2 o'clock. General Akin Öztürk faces charges of treason for allegedly leading the coup in Turkey. This is, of course, over the weekend. Turkey's former Air Force commander, General Akin Öztürk, is among roughly 6,000 people who have been arrested within the country in the aftermath of last week's attempted coup. The high-ranking military officer is thought to be one of the masterminds behind the attempted takeover, according to three Turkish state officials. Turkey's state-run news media reported Monday that Öztürk has confessed to involvement with the coup. Here's what else that we know. Who is he? He was the commander of Turkey's Air Force from 2013 to 2015 and was still on active duty at the time of the coup as a member of Turkey's High Military Council, which oversees the country's military. The military leader was due to retire in August at the next, what's called YAS, YAS, but the next High Military Council meeting. He was due to retire. He was born in 1952, blah, 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 he served. How is he being blamed? Now, the Turkish government has blamed the followers of Fethullah Gulen, an exiled U.S.-based cleric, for the uprising. And if Turkish officials are calling Öztürk the ringleader, then they're linking him to that plot. The so-called Gulen movement, or Hizmet, H-I-Z-M-E-T, calls for a more, and Gulen may not be the right way to say it, so don't think I'm the expert on pronouncing things. But Hizmet, I believe, is the other word. Calls for a more secular democracy in Turkey and calls for an open, moderate version of Sunni Islam. Gulen said in a statement that he had no part in organizing this group, which is the priest. Now, for his part, the general at first denied his involvement, but the state news agency now reports that he's confessed to playing a part in the coup. Here is what you have to know. Of course, he's been arrested. He's supposedly going to stand trial for treason. This man's going to be killed without a doubt. This man and many others. It says he reportedly went to court today along with 26 other generals and admirals. Now, this is on Monday. This is the Monday edition of Chaos and Coffee. I forgot to say that at the top of the hour. Here's what you need to know. They will die. They will die. That's how this goes. When there's a coup, when there's treason of any kind, the leaders of it, and you're talking about generals and admirals, maybe not all 27 people that were generals and admirals will die, but a lot of them will. Here's the other thing you need to know. Some of this is 50-50 on whether this makes sense or not. Now, he was born in 1952. He's retirement age. He was scheduled to retire at the next meeting. This honestly feels like a scapegoat kind of situation. And maybe he willingly let himself take the fall because he's at the end of his career, and maybe he's protecting somebody else. But here's something else you need to talk about is let's look at what they were fighting for. Now, when I first heard about it, I heard from somebody who maybe they didn't understand the situation either, but like, oh my God, We have shootings in Baton Rouge, which we're going to talk about next. We have coups in Turkey. I feel like I'm playing them off as somebody who's overreacting. They weren't, but basically it was a negative response to bad news in all the time, right? Violence. But here's the thing. Never, ever, ever, ever take a side in a coup that you're not a part of. When you sit there, oh, I can't believe they tried to do that, or oh, they were right to do it. You aren't there. You don't know what the motivations are. You don't know what they're actually trying to do, and you just don't know what the living situation is. When they talk about this here, where is it? I just read it about what they're... Oh, here it is. So they talk about the movement. Now, the Gulen movement, which may or may not have anything to do with this coup, calls for a more secular democracy in Turkey and calls for an open, moderate version of Sunni Islam. On the surface, both of those things seem good. They seem to have freedom or at least breathing room attached to them versus what you assume is the opposite of a very state-controlled news outlet, a very state-controlled religion. I don't know which side was good, which side was bad, right? And Gulen said in a statement they had no part in organizing the coup. So who knows? Maybe the coup was not based on secular democracy and moderate versions of Islam. Maybe it was based on power alone. We don't know. History will be written by the victor. And every part of the news coming out of Turkey now is going to be written by those who are still in power. What I'm saying about that is we don't know what to trust. So when you discuss this, how about we discuss what would cause you to violently overthrow a government? You personally, what would cause you to violently overthrow a government? To violently do anything? Because sometimes you do have to rise up and stand for what you believe is right. The American Revolution was not a pacifist organization. I'm just saying. Now that leads me right into Baton Rouge, which is a similar, but hopefully within results being different. Let's talk about the violence in the U.S. right now. The police shooting citizens and citizens now shooting police, murdering, killing on both sides of it. I watch, look up South Carolina cop shooting 2000. It should be this year. I think it's 2016. It's late last year. I take that back. Late last year, late 2015. I watched video footage over and over. I worked at a hotel right next to the CNN center, and we were eating lunch in the food court, CNN Center. Of course, CNN is running all day long. And this story out of, I think it was Charlotte, South Carolina. It was definitely South Carolina. I can't remember the exact city. But a suspect fled, and a police officer led chase and didn't realize he's being videotaped. And I watched over and over again two things that bothered me. One was this happened, that a police officer shot the man in the back, and then you see him, they highlighted the video, you see him take out a gun and plant it on the guy. That's horrible. But the second thing was the fact that they showed the footage over and over again. I turned to the people with them like, do you understand what you're watching right now? And they had comments on the police. I was like, no. You're literally watching somebody be killed, be murdered on TV, and nobody's batting an eye at it because we're so used to TV not being real that our minds and our instincts are not telling us, wait a minute, we are physically, literally watching somebody be murdered right now. That's a real life thing. That guy died and we saw it happen. And the fact that we as a society, we as a culture, we as a United States people don't react to that, that it was just part of the news cycle. And it was literally in that 5 minutes I was sitting there just over and over and over again. I'm like, that's what's wrong with America right there with people. We let other people tell us what to think. We are gunned. We are conditioned. I'm looking at my article, so I had gun in front of me. We are conditioned to be told what's happening first and then kind of wait for more information to come out. And we didn't blink an eye at watching somebody be murdered. So now we're going to talk about Baton Rouge. We talked about Turkey and the coup that happened there. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I don't know. But I did say there are times to rise up in violence. But I hope that in the U.S., there might come a time that that is going to happen again. And I say again because the American Revolution was part of it. I don't know how much, honestly, I don't know my history as well as I should, but I don't know how much violence was needed or actually was successful when you talk about Watts and the Watts riots and the Civil Liberties Movement and Martin Luther King and everybody around that. I don't know enough, but I know history changed because of whatever happened. This, we had both. We had the speeches. We had the come-togethers. We had the people trying to lead. And we had other people listening. But there was violence and people died. And that's horrible. I hope, as a human being, we could always talk through our differences, that we could always have conversations and come together and change the way history is running, change the way our life and our country and our people and the conversations are running. But when the words we use are all negative, when the words we use are all violent, when all we have is political rhetoric and people spouting just blanket opinions on the radio and 24-hour news cycles where they have to use inflammatory words to even get you to tune in so they can make money. You see, because by listening, they make money. By watching, they make money. By voting for the candidate you think will do what you want, power and money. Does that mean everything they say is tainted and wrong? No, but understand, when you stand on a soapbox on a street, you're doing it to spread a message and maybe manipulate people, maybe get what you want. But 100% thing is true is when you're on headline news or CNN or any big radio syndicated radio station, you're being paid to sit there and your job is to keep that job. That's all our jobs. What do you do for a living? I keep my job. That's what I do for a living. What do you mean? I mean, I do X, Y, and Z. I fill out reports. I build car parts. I do whatever. I wait on tables. Whatever it is you do to make money, what you do is you do it well enough to keep that job and hopefully make more money. So we have to understand the people on the radio, the people on the news. I'm not getting paid that much to do this job, but you know what? I am. My number one thing with Chaos and Coffee is to keep Chaos and Coffee going. It's to grow it to where many, many people hear my words, and maybe I give them a different thing to talk about, and maybe I can steer the conversation of the United States to something beyond Black Lives Matter, to something beyond Keep America Safe, to something beyond blaming Islam for everything, and to elevate that conversation to where human beings, screw your hashtags, screw your sound bites, and have a conversation. Let's stop and figure out how we can fix this. Let's push the police. Let's push the local governments to say we need more clarity. We need more openness. We need to know what you're doing to not only stop these things from happening, but to prevent them from happening in the future and to prevent yourself from hiring people who have a proclivity to get into a bad situation and make a horrible decision and shoot somebody. That's where we push and we use our words. We go to the meetings and we need the police to push back and say, yes, here's your clarity. Here's your openness. Here's what we're doing. Let's talk with the community. We are part of this community. We live here. We live here. We're human beings here. You're human beings here. So stop with the hashtags. Stop with the instant violent, angry speech and let's talk. So yeah, we gave you clarity. Now here's what we need from you. We need the community leaders to calm people down. We need the community leaders to help us educate the community on how to make a police stop go more smoothly. Maybe you weren't speeding. Maybe you were speeding. Maybe I've been pulled over. I am a 6'6" white male in the South. You want to talk about privilege? I probably have it out the wazoo. And I have been pulled over many times. Sometimes because I was profiled because of the car I was driving in the area I was in. That's it. I had not committed a crime. I was profiled because of my car. And then when they pulled me over, they aggressively used their language to try to get me to do something stupid so he could arrest me because he believed I was up to no good no matter what I said to him. You know what made that go better? The fact that I kept my head about me. It wasn't my skin. It wasn't my sex. It was the fact that I was smarter than that dude. And I used my words. I used them appropriately. And I know my rights because I'm educated. Not because of school, not because of some privilege, because I took the time to find out in Georgia what my rights are on a police stop, just in case I needed to know that. Because, honestly, because I had worked around police officers and heard stories. So the guy, the police officer, was hassling me, and I said, are you going to write me a ticket? He said, no. I said, thank you, we're done here. And I put it in drive and legally, safely drove away instead of sitting there thinking I had to stay there and let him harass me into doing something stupid to where, because I felt myself getting there. I felt myself getting angry enough to do something stupid and punch him in the face or get out of my car aggressively because he was doing that. He was baiting me. I don't know why. Maybe he just had a bad day and he wanted to fight. Maybe he felt like he had to arrest somebody. I don't know why, but I won because I knew my rights and I asked questions. That's what we need from the communities, is educate the communities on their rights to know how to properly exchange something with another human being. How to properly speak to another human being and to know when you're free to go. Because, yeah, there's going to be bad people. There's going to be good people doing bad things in the police departments. Talking, communication is key. Murder on either side of it is not ever okay. And in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, authorities said Monday that they believe the gunman who opened fire in Baton Rouge a day earlier, killing three police officers and injuring three others before dying in a shootout with police, was looking for law enforcement and ambushed the officers. This is from the Washington Post. Today, police say that Baton Rouge gunman was targeting officers and ambushing them is the headline. We do believe he was targeting officers, and he definitely did ambush these officers that he shot. Lieutenant J.B. Slayton, a Louisiana State Policeman spokesman, said Monday morning. Slayton said that it was early in the investigation and the police are that which the state police are leading, and added that authorities are still trying to figure out the motivation, what motivated the attacker. They identified the gunman as Gavin Long, a black man and former Marine who had, this is how it's written, a black man and former Marine who has posted videos online seemingly endorsing violence as a way to push back against law enforcement. And then you can read the rest of it. They're still trying to figure out the motivations. There's a lot more to this article. It's a really good article. Go and read it. One last thing I do want to talk about in this article is, according to law enforcement officials, Long was carrying a Washita Nation membership. That's W-A-S-H-I-T-A-W, Washita Nation membership card, during the shooting on Sunday. Washita Nation is a black nationalist movement. And I honestly thought everybody had to say African-American when it was in press. But they're writing, a black national movement that was once targeted by the FBI, and federal courts have characterized it in the past as fictional. The founder's son told the Washington Post that he didn't know Long and that the group doesn't espouse violence. We have to be careful. And I read that to tie it right back into the Nice, France story, the Bastille Day killer, and how we the American people, we the white world, we the non-Muslim world, try to put radical Islam on every attack of terrorism if we can. And here, you know, there will be people. Luckily, it's not the Washington Post. I don't know anybody who's doing this yet. But I do know human beings, and there will be people who will be out there saying, it's an activist group, racism, reverse racism, which is not actually a thing. It just, racism is racism, no matter what your race or color is, as long as it's against somebody who ain't you or your color based on the color of their skin. That's racism, man. If you hate a race, it's racism. It's not reverse racism. It's just reverse racism was, man, I love you because you're different than me. That would be reverse racism, right? Is, oh, I'm white, you're black. Oh, I love that. That's reverse racism, because I love you because you're black, which is also stupid, but that's the true meaning of it. Are we ready for a war? Are we ready for a war? Because if you're not ready for a civil war to break out, and it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be nasty, and it will affect you no matter what, no matter where you live, it will affect you directly. And if you're not ready for a civil war too to happen, for a race war to happen, for any war to happen, then get activated now. Get out there and start changing the conversation away from skin color and about decisions and human beings and how to talk to each other. Because that's the only way to change the course of history that we're on right now. This is the second verified killing, intentional killing of police officers in 2 weeks. Dallas was 2 weeks ago. There were two shootings of police officers shooting citizens. And as far as I can tell, it's white officers shooting black citizens. You don't hear about black officers shooting black citizens. You don't hear about white officers shooting white citizens. You hear about white officers killing black people, black citizens. I think you should hear about it all, because I think it's, unless it's a verified shooting, that I did a story, I can't remember if it was last show or the one before, about body cams and how releasing that video is clearing up so much of this confusion and changing the conversation so much. But it's white officers on a white guy. And he was shown clearly saying, I hate my life. He was clearly disobeying many commands given to by officers. And they clearly said, if you keep walking at us, we will shoot you. I cannot see your hands. And he walked intentionally to die. And I reported on that because the police department came out and released the videos and gave that clarity, gave that openness that we need. And unfortunately, that kid died. I think it was 19. Unfortunately, he died, but he died by his choices, as bad as they were. The shootings before Dallas, best I can tell, those people did not die because of their choices. They died because of bad police officer choices. But we heard about it because of white officers shooting black people. Is there a chance that racism plays in? Hell yeah, there's a chance that it plays in. Is it a fact that it plays into every shooting on white on black? Hell no. Are you crazy? Have you even heard of the word statistics? No, it doesn't play into everyone. No, I refuse to believe there's an epidemic of white officers hunting black people. I also refuse to believe there's an epidemic of black citizens going on murder sprees against white officers. We've had two major incidents. But a good point was made about Dallas. Was when the shooting started in Dallas. It was at a protest rally, which presumably was mostly black. And the cops were out there to protect them, protect the protesters who were protesting against police officers. Or at least part of it was that. Some of it was probably against violence. Some of it was probably about raising the bar and changing the conversation. But they were there. When the shooting started, everybody ran. Who stayed behind to protect those who were running? The police officers. And many of them gave their lives that day. I want to talk about one more thing in this Baton Rouge thing. Slayton, who is a law enforcement spokesman, did say that did not appear any of the 911 calls regarding a man with a gun that came in Sunday were made by the shooter. Instead, he said most of the reports were made by officers who saw the armed man. Officials familiar with the investigation said Long was armed with an AR-15-style semi-automatic rifle during the assault. They don't know why exactly he did it, but all evidence points to this was an ambush, that this was a last stand, that this was violence planned and carried out. When will we start talking about something in a different way? I believe Morgan Freeman said this. I believe Morgan Freeman was asked, how do we end racism? And his beautiful quote was, you stop talking about it. Stop throwing out 140 character Twitter BS. Stop giving me sound bites. Stop giving me racially inflammatory headlines. Stop making stupid racially inflammatory remarks at the Republican convention or in the Democratic convention or in all politics. And let's start talking to each other like human beings. That is the only way to change any of this without the violence. Because without conversation, violence is necessary. That's me. I said that. Without conversation, violence is necessary. If you don't want the violence, if you're not ready for it, then let's start talking to each other. Let's start looking for ways to work together to fix this. So I'm out of my time. I'm not going to get to this New York Post. I'll just go ahead and tell you it's called "With Kids Away at Camp, Parents Revel in Drug-Fueled Sex Parties." And it's out there, man. It is out there. And the line that really got me was mom and dad put kids on a bus to, let's say, put a 9-year-old and an 8-year-old at sleepaway camp, right? And then immediately got on a bus and a party boat, and they started partying nonstop with pot, magic mushrooms, and ecstasy and group sex. Fine, that's your choice. But the line says, "This is the first time in 9 years I'm not having to be a mom. I want no responsibility. Do you not understand the consequences of your choices? You're a mom whether your kids are there or not." And there's some other stuff going into it. Please go read it. It'll give you something else to talk through the week until I come back on Friday with the Friday edition of Chaos and Coffee. Go read that in the New York Post because it'll blow you away. It's, again, about bad decisions and ignorant choices and obviously wrong mindsets. But it didn't fit into the shut up theme of today. Today's the shut up with the BS, with the easy, and let's start talking about the hard. Because when you talk about the hard, you have to take responsibility for your part and what's going on, and that's the hardest part of all. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope it gave you something to talk about. I hope you listen over at Satchel Player. Download the Satchel Player to your iOS or Android device. Right there, you can Twitter me. As you're listening to this show, you can hit Twitter and you can make your comments on what I'm saying, and we will. It'll tag me, so I will see it, and I will respond as much as possible. I hope that this blows up and a million people listen. Obviously, I can't respond to a million Twitters, but right now, I can respond to Twitter. Also, if you believe in what I'm saying, you'd like it to get louder. You'd like more people to hear it. Not only tell your friends, not only share the Facebook page, facebook.com/chaosandcoffee, but how about hit the donate button on the Satchel Player right there? How about doing that for me? Send me a little bit of help because, you know, it takes money to put a show on. It takes money to keep the lights on. Love your help. I am the Rock God of Podcasting, Charles McFall. Follow me on Twitter at Rock God of Pod. Email me, bearcrawling@gmail.com. And find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Rock God of Podcasting. You can find everything that I do there. CharlesMcFall.com has a speak pipe that you can call in a voicemail, and it shows all the other shows that I worked on. Until Friday, today's Monday. So until Friday, I hope you have a little coffee, and I hope you get a little chaos. Chaos leads to conversation.